And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, in recent weeks, we exposed, right here on this show, the fact that President Bush and President Vicente Fox of Mexico and Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin, back in 2005, signed an agreement which, well, to be very blunt with you, ends America forever and ever. Ends America. Puts the finish to over 200 years of American history in total defiance of the United States Constitution. I entitled the two programs that we did on the radio, The Murder of America. Now today I want to talk to you a little bit more in this hour about that plot. But it's going to be a very interesting hour because I'm going to propose to you and predict some things today that are going to happen over the next 3 to 5 years. Now, these are not prophecies. You know, God is not speaking, you know, into my mouth. But these are what appears to be occurring now that I can see from my analysis. And, of course, I do give credit to God for giving me a very strong power of analysis. Something which I've had for many, many years since I was just a young kid. When other kids were reading about baseball, reading books about sports or hobbies, I was reading about politics and world affairs and things like that. My teachers were all amazed. And I couldn't get enough. Other kids were reading Boys Life and I was reading Time, Newsweek, Life, and searching for books on how Congress really worked or what was happening behind the Soviet Union, even as a young little kid. This has always been the love of my life. And then, of course, the greatest love of my life came when I came to know Jesus Christ as a teenager. And that gave me a whole new outlook. Because having brain power isn't very much if you don't have the spiritual understanding. The Bible says the natural man, that is the person without Christ, cannot understand the things of God. I believe these things that I'm going to talk about today are all working toward, now listen to this very carefully, are all working toward our good. Did you know that evil, the devil's evil, works toward your good as a Christian? Well, a lot of people don't know that. That's why I can sleep at night. That's why I can smile every day. It does. I want to talk to you today about a subject that seems a little strange in light of the fact that I've said that America has been murdered. And they're ending America, ending our Constitution. They're going to bring all of the three nations of North America, Mexico, the United States, and Canada together as one by the year 2010. It's a done deal. It's been signed, the agreement. Did our Congress approve it? The Senate, 2/3 vote? No, they don't care about the Senate or Congress for the most part. They just do whatever they want to do. Lou Dobbs of CNN has been reporting on this North American Union plan that, by the way, was first promulgated 2 years ago by the Council on Foreign Relations. I was the first to report on this program that over 70% of the membership of the elite Council on Foreign Relations, 4,275 members, are Jews. It's basically a Jewish secret society. It was founded by Colonel House way back during the administration of President Woodrow Wilson. Their plan was to put together a League of Nations, to have a world government, and ensure things happened right in the United States, they set up the Council on Foreign Relations. In my book, Circle of Intrigue, I have a picture of former President of the Soviet Union of Russia, Mikhail Gorbachev, visiting the CFR headquarters, the Pratt House in New York. And they're showing him something on display that they're very proud of. It's the very first copy of their magazine, their journal, Foreign Affairs. The very first one issued back in 1921. And they're showing it off in this picture in my book, Circle of Intrigue. The head of the Council on Foreign Relations, when Mikhail Gorbachev came to America, he went to visit the CFR, quite understandable. And there while he was visiting, they showed him under a glass case. They're so proud of it. They keep it under lock and key. There is a sort of a tattered, worn edition, a copy of the very first journal of the Council on Foreign Relations ever issued way back in 1921. And they told Mikhail Gorbachev, this belonged to Vladimir Lenin, the founder of communism in the Soviet Union. Your hero, Vladimir Lenin. It turned out that he got the first copy, and even his handwriting is in all the margins of the paper, of all the articles. He knew that every article in that magazine, that journal, showed a plan, an agenda of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now today, I want to talk to you about this agenda. You'll be surprised to learn that initially, they've got some good news for America. America is about to experience an economic boom. Now, I know many people are out there telling you that it's all doom and gloom. Buy gold. Everything is going kablunk. The economy's going in a toilet. There's going to be a housing bust. In fact, there is, in fact, a housing bust of sorts. The bubble of the housing market has burst, and home values seem to be receding very quickly in some areas of the country. Many people are worried. There are layoffs. Dell Computer Company announced that its profits were not as good as they thought. That's the largest computer maker in the world. Now they're building their service centers in India and in South Korea. Outsourcing of jobs. Meanwhile, Ford Motor Company is having its problems, laying off workers. General Motors, people talk about the possibility of it going bankrupt, laying off workers. Intel Corporation, the biggest maker of microchips for computers, laying off workers. A few months ago, I visited up in Indiana. I cannot believe, I call it the Rust Bowl. Indiana, Ohio, former plants full of American workers out of business. Chains, locks, padlocks, big for sale signs, factory after factory closed down. American workers losing their jobs. While the illegal invasion of Mexican immigrants has never been stronger, and Bush and the boys don't care to stop it. In fact, it's planned that it's going to increase. It's going to be even bigger. But I'm going to propose to you today something quite interesting. Did you know that America is about ready to undergo a huge economic boom? But watch out. It will last for 3 to 5 years at the most, and then there will be a bust like you've never seen before. I think it could parallel the Great Depression, possibly. Oh, I know things don't look too good right now. The Fed Reserve has been raising interest rates. They recently slowed a little bit on that. But after, what, 17 months or so of raising rates, it's done its damage to the economy. The housing bubble has burst, and many people are putting their homes up for sale in places like California, Arizona, Utah, even up in Massachusetts, Vermont. And you know what? They're just not selling. Used to be you put a house up for sale in many places in California and you'd get three or four offers within days. People would be bidding, wanting to get your house, drive up the price. Some people were getting more money for their house than they even had advertised it for. Not any longer. Just talking to Zeph Daniels, he has a radio show. He told me that he knows of houses that were selling for $500,000. They've dropped the price to $250,000 in California. Halved it. Now, I don't know many places like that, but it's the housing bubble has indeed burst. Builders, Toll Brothers, D.R. Horton and others are beginning to suffer a little bit. At least their stocks are. People are beginning to see they're not building as many homes as they were. What's going on? A lot of people say, well, we're going to see a stock market burst. There's going to be a huge bust in the economy, a collapse of our finances. Could that be true? I want to give you an alternative version today. Now, I could get a bigger audience if I scared you and told you that everything is going south. And you know what? I believe eventually it will. But let me explain something to you. The elite, the Illuminati, cannot get their final agenda, their final links of their world plan in place if people are angry about the economy. Did you hear what I just said? You know, Clinton, when he was running for office, wasn't doing so well in the polls. Bill Clinton, the first time he ran for president, and his presidential advisor, James Carville, said, hey, Mr. would-be president, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. You've got to start talking about the bad economy. When people understand the economy is bad, they'll put George Bush Sr. out of office, and you know what they did? After that, you see, Bill Clinton has been talking about this issue, the environment, and this issue, and this issue. James Carville, they call him the crazy Cajun political advisor from Louisiana. And he's crazy enough, too. Immoral. Outrageous, but pretty cunning and sly and ingenious. And he said, Bill Clinton, just stay on target. Keep talking about the bad economy and you'll win. And he did. It's the economy, stupid, Carville said. They even had a little sign put up. In Clinton's campaign office. It's the economy, stupid. Keep talking about the bad economy. I've told you some things about the economy. They're true. Dell, Ford, GM, Intel, big American names. Suffering. How could the economy get better? The housing market going south. How could things get better? You know, you don't feel too rich if your home was worth $150,000 and now it's only worth $130,000 and tomorrow it might be worth $100,000. You don't feel too affluent anymore, do you? And I know a lot of people out there are worried about those things. A lot of people are worried whether we're going to be able to keep our Social Security. Tens of millions of Mexican aliens invading America, and now Bush is giving them Social Security. That'll bankrupt Social Security. Well, you know, it really will. Eventually. How are they going to keep things afloat? Listen to me, friends. No one is willing to go to war if they're poor. That may sound like a contradiction. People are much more willing to go fight a war if they have a little money in their pocket, or if it'll make them money. LBJ found out something. He found out you can't have guns and butter, just that he chose the wrong war with Vietnam. It drug on and on and on, and people got tired of it. But for a while, things weren't too bad in America because, you know, the economy was booming. We're spending so much money on the military-industrial complex that everybody had jobs. Now, how can they prop up the American economy? We know we have become a debtor nation. We owe more than any other nation on earth. It would seem like we are about to teeter-totter into bankruptcy and failure, but wait. We have the biggest, most powerful central bank in the world, the Fed Reserve, and it prints money. And it can print as much as it wants. You say, no, Tex, eventually the laws of supply and demand, economics 101 catches up with it. Maybe so, but not for a long, long time. Meanwhile, they've got some games they're going to play. And listen to what I just said. As long as Americans are economically okay, they don't get too mad at the president when he gets us involved in a big war overseas. But if the economy turns bad, then he can't do anything right. Then they start saying, hey, you're more interested in international affairs than your economy. After all, friends, it's the economy, stupid. Now, the economy, the American economy hasn't been doing too good lately. And people are getting angry at Bush. His popularity ratings in the polls have dropped down and down and down. But if the economy gets better, then his poll standings will go up and up, even if American soldiers, young men and women, are dying overseas. Doesn't that show you the priorities of people? As long as they're rich, as long as they're affluent, as long as money is coming in, they can tolerate young people dying in foreign wars. In fact, Roosevelt, FDR, has been lauded, praised, complimented. He got us out of the Depression. How did he do it? He got us in World War II. Isn't that great? Now, we're in a war over the Middle East, and it's going to get bigger because they want to bomb, they want to nuke, in fact, Iran and Syria. Well, if the war gets bigger, what's going to happen here? Well, they've got to improve the economy, so we'll approve the war over there. Did you hear what I just said? They've got to improve the economy here so we, as Americans, will approve the war over there. Else we'll say, come home and quit spending all that money on a fruitless, worthless, bloody war. Economic experts say now, within a year or two, we will have spent over $1 trillion on the Iraq war. And what have we got? Nothing. We're worse off than before we went. There's civil war going on. 1,000 people a month, maybe a week, are dying now, including some American fighting men and women. People aren't too happy about spending all that money, but they don't mind it if they have money in their own pocket. So you got to put money in their pockets so they'll approve your foreign wars. So the economy's got to improve. The elite know this. The Illuminati know this. Now here's another thing. We've been told that free trade, the erasure of America's borders, the bringing in of all these illegal aliens, helps our economy. We've been told that outsourcing of our jobs can actually help American economy. We've been told bringing in super cheap Chinese goods made by slave labor is good for our economy. We've been told that it's good to have 20 to 30 million illegal Mexican and other aliens in this country doing jobs that Bush says Americans don't want to do. And that's good for our economy. Free trade. Free trade. And Bush knocks the isolationist among us. But if the economy slides, then maybe free trade isn't so good for us after all. And why would we want to drop the borders with Canada and Mexico if our economy is doing bad? If they erase the borders with Mexico and Canada and we've got 20 or 30 million illegal aliens, but the economy begins to boom, they'll say, wow, this is good. It's good to have all these illegal aliens. I might employ one as a nanny. I might want a Mexican labor without a green card and illegal to mow my lawn. I may want him to wash dishes in my restaurant, to cook the food at McDonald's. This economy's great. This is wonderful. Bring the Mexicans in. No problem. As long as you're rich, friends, everything. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, at one place, and I'm taking it out of context, money is the answer to all things. Did you know the Bible said that? Money is the answer to all things. But you have to read a little further in Ecclesiastes to understand it's the fool that believes that. It's the fool that believes that. But we have a lot of fools in America. A lot of fools. How are they going to do it? I say to you, we're going to have North American El Dorado. You know, when the Spanish conquistadors came over, they were looking for gold. They were looking for a fabled place here in the Americas that they called El Dorado, land of gold. Well, we're about to have North American El Dorado, North American Union, and everybody will love it. They won't fight it. Erasing the borders. Making a new currency called the Amaro. That's their plan. Get rid of the dollar. Have the Amaro. The dollar's been under attack anyway by Iran, by Venezuela, and by some other oil powers around the world. We'll just get rid of it and have the Amaro, and we'll be stronger. All three economies will be behind this. But wait, the American people say, wait just a minute. I'm not going to share all of our land, all of our goods, all of our Social Security pensions, everything with all of these illegal Mexicans. There's 126 million Mexicans, 20 million at least in the United States already illegal. I'm not going to share everything I've got, everything I worked for all my life with them. But wait, the government's going to come and tell you, we have good news for you. You can afford to share because you're going to be so rich. This is North American El Dorado. Notice I didn't say United States El Dorado. It's North American El Dorado. I want to read to you, dear friends, from the Austin American Statesman, today's headline. This is probably in many papers across this country. You know, they told us we had a huge oil shortage in the world. Oil went up to about $85 a barrel a few months back. They said it'll be up over $100, maybe $200 a barrel by next year. Suddenly it began to drop. As I'm talking to you today, it's around $64 a barrel. Why is it suddenly dropping? What's going on? Well, what you have to understand, dear friends, is there is an unlimited supply of oil in this earth. Let me say it again. This planet will never, ever, ever run out of oil until Jesus Christ comes. You say, Tex Mars, we've heard of something called peak oil. You know, the industries of the world just keep growing, and China now is growing and using up oil, and all of the industrialized nations are using up so much oil. We're going to run out. Oh, Chicken Little is running crazy saying we're running out of oil. It'll be $200, $500 a barrel. What, before we know it, what are we going to do? You know, they were saying the same thing in 1900 before we had cars and airplanes and factories that use so much oil. They said, we're going to run out. We only have a finite amount of oil, and we're going to run out soon. Then in the 20s, they said, we're going to run out soon, within a decade. And then the 30s, they said, it can't last much longer. By the 40s, we're going to be out of oil. I've heard it every decade of my life. I'm 62 years old. And then my brother sat down with me one day. You see, he was a highfalutin executive for one of the major oil companies. And he said, Tex, would you like me to tell you a secret? I said, sure. I like secrets. He said, we're not ever going to run out of oil. I said, really? He said, you know, all those oil wells we've capped all over Texas, Oklahoma, we capped them when we supposedly, they quit producing so much, so we just capped them over. I said, yeah. He said, well, we've gone back now, and guess what? They've been replenished with oil. I said, replenished? He said, yeah. He says, at first we thought it was just the way it happened, you know, that maybe a neighboring oil field or whatever, you know, the oil would seep through and come back in over a number of years, would fill up, you know, come through all the little crevices in the earth and all, and there would be just a small amount of oil that had come from other sources nearby. But something is going on. Something, he said, is going on. The earth is replenishing the oil. Wow. Then it hit me. I said to my brother Troy, I said, how is oil made in the earth? He said, well, you won't believe it. But you see, the geologist came up with a kooky theory about 100 years ago how oil is made. They said it was made from fossils. Dinosaurs and animals died, and their bodies rotted in the earth and became oil. So when they find a big oil field, they say must have been a bunch of dead dinosaurs there. It's fossil fuel. I said, you're kidding me. They said this oil came from dead dinosaur bodies. That's what they claimed. He says, my brother told me, he says, Tex, I believe where this came from. He says, me and my high-level friends believe this came from when they first found oil in places like the tar pits out in California. They found that there were dinosaur bones in the tar. And they thought the oil at first came from the dinosaurs that died and turned to oil, fossil fuels. He says, I guess they were too stupid to realize that dinosaurs weren't too smart, and you walk in tar and you can't walk very far and you get stuck in it and you die and your bones stay there. And that's why they found all the dinosaur bones in the tar pits. But we're still living with this theory. And you know, it seemed to me a little bit like evolution. They started the idea from Darwin that we came from monkeys and tadpoles. And that's how we evolved. And they still believe such silliness even today. Friends, even if I did not believe in God, did not believe in the story of Genesis, it's stupid to believe that we came from tadpoles and monkeys as human beings. And in fact, new DNA research has proven that's all a bunch of hocus pocus silliness. And now the evolutionists are looking for another fiction, another myth. They're frightened to death that the people of the world will find out that evolution is about as silly as you can get, and so is fossil fuels. Now they're coming up with something called biotic sources. Biology. The earth is replenishing its oil supplies. It'll never run out of oil. And now, when I return in just a minute, I'm going to tell you about the newest find of oil. They have found a huge supply of oil sitting right off the American coast. We'll never run out of oil. And we're going to get rich. Stay with me. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Hello again, dear friends. Tex Mars here. You know, somebody sent me a picture of President George Bush and First Lady Laura Bush this week. Very interesting photo. They said, Dear Tex, the person who sent it to me, you'll enjoy seeing this photo. Maybe when you do a revision or an expanded edition of your book, Codex Magica, you can put this photo in there. And I looked at the picture, And the caption read this way. It said, President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush at an Episcopal church in New Orleans, Louisiana, during the commemoration events of Hurricane Katrina. So there they had a church service to commemorate the victims of Hurricane Katrina. President Bush and the First Lady went down to New Orleans, and there they were in this Episcopal church. And First Lady Bush was on her knees in front of the Episcopal priest, and he was touching her head as if he were blessing her head. Blessing her. And standing behind her, standing up, she was on her knees, standing behind her was President George Bush. And his arms were in a complete form of the sign X. X. They weren't prayerful like when you put your two hands together. And I've seen people, a lot of people do that, and you have too. He actually had placed his arms in the X position over his chest. One palm on one shoulder, one palm on the other shoulder. And of course, I recognize this immediately as the sign of Osiris, the great god of Egypt. And this is the very symbol that is worshipped as a symbol of the deity of the Masonic lodges. No doubt he learned this in his Skull and Bones order, which, after all, is simply a black lodge of Freemasonry, the Order of Skull and Bones. Here he was giving the sign of Osiris. I remembered, too, that John Kerry's wife, Teresa, who, by the way, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, she, during the Democratic Party convention, as people applauded her after she spoke a few words, made her hands in the sign of the X on her chest. Now, if you don't have my book, Codex Magica, The Hidden Signs, The Secret Symbols of the Illuminati Revealed, you need that book. It's over 600 pages, and there are over 1,000 photographs. You'll see celebrities and famous people, historical personages. You'll see, of course, President Clinton, President Bush, presidents and prime ministers, chancellors from around the world. You'll see United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan. You'll see celebrities, sports, athletes, movie stars, all performing occult rituals and giving out secret society signs right in plain sight. You'll be amazed. The book is Codex Magica. Now, because it's about the size of about 3 normal books, we ask for $35 for this book. $35 for the book. Now, please add $4 shipping and handling. $39. But I promise you, this book will change the way you think about our culture, about our political leaders, about America and the world. Codex Magica, one of the most amazing books you will ever read, you will ever see. Some people have written to me and said, I bought it only for the pictures, and I'm glad I did. Amazing photos. Famous people caught in the act performing occult magic, satanic ritual. You will be amazed. Codex Magica. Now, here's how to get your copy. Again, $39. That includes shipping and postage, handling, and all. Just write to us and send us a check or a money order for $39 to Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can phone us toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Ask for Codex Magica using your charge card. And when you order the book, we're going to renew your subscription. You know, every time you order anything from our ministry, we automatically renew your subscription to our outstanding newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about North American Union El Dorado. Oh, the gold's coming in. Listen to this news report. Let me read it to you from the Austin American Statesman, owned by the Gannett chain here in Austin, Texas, the Daily here in Texas. It reads, this is the headline, vast pool of oil discovered in Gulf. Find, in the subheadline says, find, that's the oil find, could increase U.S. reserves by half. Dispels notion that world is about out of crude oil. Our United States reserves are increased by half from this vast pool of oil that's been discovered in the Gulf of Mexico right off our coast. And it dispels, it kicks out, it throws out the notion, the false notion, the silly idea that the world is about ready to run out of oil. No wonder. They knew, the big boys knew this was going to come in the paper, and they've been selling oil short. That's why it went down from $80-something dollars a barrel to the low $60 just in the last couple of weeks. They knew this headline was going to come out. Now let me read to you from the article. Dateline, Washington, D.C. Chevron Corporation. Chevron, one of the biggest of the Standard Oil people, announced Tuesday that it has successfully extracted oil from a deposit more than 5 miles below the surface of the Gulf of Mexico, a discovery that could boost U.S. reserves as much as 50% and ease fears that the world is running out of oil. Goes on to talk about the successful test. They found oil in a place called the Walker Ridge. Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R, Ridge. 5.3 miles below the deep Gulf waters in the Gulf of Mexico, right outside of New Orleans. Let me clear my throat. Did you get that, friends? One of the biggest oil finds in the world, maybe greater than the Spindletop find in 1901 in Beaumont, Texas, has been discovered in the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Louisiana. Right outside New Orleans. They say there's incredible amounts of oil. Daniel Yergin has written a lot about the oil industry. He's the number one writer in the world about the oil industry. He says, this play, get the term, this play, you know, like theater, this act. This play, he says, has been unfolding in the ultra-deep waters of the Gulf of Mexico for 5 years, and this is the breakthrough announcement. This discovery, he said, is the frontier for world oil, at the frontier for world oil. Do you remember last year when I read to you right here and I talked about on this very program, I said that there has been a new discovery in the Gulf of Mexico? And they have found a huge cache of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And that geologists now are discounting the old fossil fuel theory and saying that the earth must be through biotic, B-I-O-T-I-C, processes. Biotic processes replenishing the store of oil. And they said in that, as I told you last year, there is more oil in the Gulf of Mexico that they have found than has been discovered in the entire United States since the history of this continent. Did you hear what I just said? They have discovered more oil in the Gulf of Mexico sitting off the Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi coast than has been discovered in the entire history of the United States of America. What does this mean? It means they're just announcing it now, and yet I told you on the air about a year ago. Did I not? You remember, many people wrote to me, and they said, we've never heard of such a thing. What oil find? What discovery? What do you mean? This would be incredible. This is greater than Prudhoe Bay up in Alaska. This is incredible. I told you. We told you so. Right here on Power Prophecy. And I like Daniel Yergin. This play has been unfolding for 5 years. But this is the breakthrough announcement by Chevron Oil Company. Now, what does it mean to you? Well, according to this article, it will mean lower global oil prices. It will mean gasoline prices coming down. It'll mean a spurt in the United States economy. Now, they say they won't be able to start bringing this oil up for about maybe 5 years. Could be up to 5 years. But they're going to have to go ahead and prepare the infrastructure. Now let's look at what happened at Hurricane Katrina. New Orleans had withstood many, many hurricanes. The infamous Hurricane Audrey in 1957, for example. Oh man, that was a killer. But those levees held. This time they didn't. Isn't it interesting that over 36 people have come forward in New Orleans and said they heard explosions at the levees before the flooding? And isn't it interesting that the flooding occurred in all the poor people, the most poverty-stricken areas, you know, Ward 9 and so forth, in New Orleans lost their homes and they'll never be restored to them. They've been declared off limits. They can't even go back. But suddenly some rich Jewish billionaire in Las Vegas says, we're going to make of New Orleans a new city. It's going to be the Dixieland casino area of the world. We'll bring back all the glory and more. We're going to bring in the casinos. We'll build up New Orleans. It'll be bigger than Las Vegas and Atlantic City. Just in time, all the poor people were run out of town. And now they found all of this oil right off the coast of New Orleans. And there's going to be an oil boom and thousands of workers, people coming. And already the boom is going on. They say North New Orleans is booming. Mississippi, that was devastated by a hurricane, Katrina, it's booming. The Texas coast, they can't build enough condos and buildings. Commercial real estate is booming all over the Gulf of Mexico. I think the big boys knew in advance about this vast pool of oil to be discovered. And you would have known in advance too if you'd listened to Power of Prophecy. Now, what's going on? Let me explain it to you, dear friends. They're going to keep us afloat. You see, they knew about this oil years ago. They just kept it tapped up. Just like my brother, the executive with Sun Oil Company, said, and by the way, I can safely tell you, he would be, of course, collared, cashiered, kicked out of the oil company if I revealed to you. But regrettably, my brother, Troy, is dead. He died of a heart attack some years ago, after he had told me that great secret of the oil men, that there's plenty of oil and will never run out. Now, listen to me very carefully. Mexico also has oil, a huge store of oil. In fact, most people don't know it, but the oil in Mexico, off the Gulf of Mexico, again, remember, off the Gulf of Mexico, is owned by a company called Pemex. That's short for Petroleum Mexico. They said until recently that there were enough oil reserves in off the Gulf of Mexico owned by Pemex, the national government-owned oil company. When I say national government of Mexico, I don't really mean the people. I mean the elite, the rich Mexicans that own it. The people own nothing. They're peons. They're impoverished, poor people. It's the rich that own the oil, but they haven't been able to take all the oil out. People couldn't understand why. Mexico could be the richest country on earth with all of this oil, they said, in PMEX said. The poor people of Mexico have been crying for decades. When are you going to let them explore and get more oil from the PMEX oil fields? And the Mexican government said no. They would drive through the Mexico City slums and see all the people starving, living in shacks. And they said, all we need to do is drill for more oil. Why doesn't PMEX bring the liquid gold out of the ground? And then all of Mexico can enjoy their oil holdings. And the rich Illuminati elite Mexicans at head of the government said no. Isn't that interesting? And now we have the North American Union. They want to drop the border with Mexico and merge Mexico in with America. They're going to move the border that we now have, you know, the border that separates California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and Mexico. They're going to move it south, all the way down to the south of Mexico. The southern border of Mexico with what? Guatemala, Belize, I believe. What's going on? Well, you know what? Here's good news for you, it would seem like. If they did make Mexico part of the United States and it was all one big conglomerate with Canada, then couldn't we force them to sell PMEX? We don't want any old national oil company. Why, we're capitalist. They'd have to sell off PMEX. And when they did, all that oil, the oil companies could go down there and have a stake in it and start drilling for all the oil that's in those reserves. And then we would be rich along with the Mexicans. We wouldn't need all that Saudi Arabian, Kuwaiti, Qatar and Bahrain, all the oil from Iran and Iraq in the Middle East. We could tell the Arab Muslims, go fly a kite. We've got all the oil we need from PMEX. We could do it if PMEX was owned by the Americans, by the United States. Well, it took care of that. I knew it was coming. 1 week ago today, I opened up the newspaper, and what was on page one? A story about PMEX oil. Remember now, that was last week. This week is about this huge pool of oil discovered on the American side of the Gulf of Mexico. 1 week ago, there was a big article. And you know what it said? Geologist of the Mexican government, assisted by geologist of American oil companies, regrettably have to report that there is not as much oil off of the coast of Mexico as was first thought. PMEX does not have, might only have one-tenth of the oil reserves they thought they had. They thought PMEX was second only to Saudi Arabia in oil reserves. Mexico could be a rich country if they just let them drill. But now they say they've changed their mind. The newest findings of the geologist and the scientist say it only has about one-tenth as much oil as they thought. So sad for those Mexicans. They could have been rich. Hey, we could have been rich here in America from the PMEX oil. But now it doesn't exist. The reserves just poof, like Puff the Magic Dragon. They just vanished. I mean, they were there and now they're gone. But meanwhile, on the other side of the Gulf of Mexico, a few hundred miles on the other side, on the American side, there's the oil. Now, what does that mean? It means America's going to get richer. And Mexico is going to be poor, and millions of Mexicans will come to the United States for jobs. In fact, they're rebuilding New Orleans, and do you think they're using American workers to rebuild? I have friends who are in construction who went down to Mississippi and to Louisiana, New Orleans, to help rebuild. They said, now we can finally get a good job rebuilding the United States where it had been destroyed from Hurricane Katrina. And they were told, we don't need you. We have Mexican laborers down here. We'd have to pay you $20 an hour. They're willing to work for $5 an hour. Go home. We don't need you, Anglo-Americans. You see what they're doing, friends? Now, let me tell you how the future is going to happen. They're building this Trans-America corridor through Mexico, straight through Texas, down in the Rio Grande, through Austin, through Dallas, all the way up to Minnesota, through Kansas City, of course, on the way up to Minnesota and then into Canada. 4 or 5 football fields wide highways. Thousands of huge trucks, 3 times the size of most American big semis, going up and down, bringing all those consumer goods from Red China that are made by the slave labor, of course. And this is going to create a new infrastructure in America. And guess what? Go down to Brownsville, Texas, and you'll find skyscrapers going up. Huge warehouses to warehouse all the goods coming in from Mexico. And in Kansas City, up in Missouri, they're building huge warehouses. There's going to be a big storage facility there for all these goods. Here's how they're going to do it. China will bring in goods, Pacific Coast and Atlantic Coast both. How can China do that? Well, they own the Panama Canal Zone now. They own all the dock facilities. Red China bought them up. That's right. We sold the Panama Canal basically to Red China. Well, actually, we gave freedom to the Panama government. And they turned around and sold all the docking facilities and the Panama Canal rights to Red China. Now, Red China's in the Pacific, but now they've got the Panama Canal to bring it to the other side. Here's what happens. In Mexico, there are ports like Veracruz. They have huge ports on both the Atlantic and the Pacific side of Mexico. That's where all the goods are going to come in for North America. All of the consumer and industrial goods are going to come in there. And they're going to be trucked into the United States and Canada by this Trans-America Corridor, this superhighway that they're building. Now, let me give you a clue. If you live on the East Coast or the West Coast, you're in trouble. You know all those docks, Norfolk, Virginia, New York City, and over in California, Long Beach, San Diego, Oxnard, then on up to Portland and Seattle, you're going to lose your jobs. The economy is going to suffer there. People that have to do with the shipping industry, they don't need you anymore. They're going to ship all the goods to Mexico from the third world nations and from Red China and truck them in. And Mexicans will drive the trucks. And Mexicans will build the roads. And Mexicans will maintain the roads. And who will own those highways? Not America. Not you and me. Did you know that the Trans-America Corridor highways are being built by Cintra, a Spanish from Spain, a multinational corporation owned by the Illuminati? And Australia, a huge corporation from Australia, also has the rights. And they're building toll roads throughout all the cities of the Midwest and Texas and Oklahoma and on up into Canada. Toll roads in all those cities. You're going to pay through the nose everywhere you drive. And you know who gets the profits? Spain, Australia, but really it's going to go in the pockets of the Illuminati elite. Let me tell you what I believe happened. This hurricane was coming to New Orleans, all right. They enhanced it. They made it a greater hurricane with their new weather technologies, their weather war technologies. It became a super hurricane. But really, they knew that wouldn't create enough damage, and so they destroyed everything by destroying the levees. And the floodwaters are what destroyed New Orleans. Now they're building it all back. There's going to be a boom in America while they're building it back. There already is in those areas. If you have a house in many areas of the country, the value may go down, but not real estate in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, on the Gulf Coast. Real estate, especially commercial real estate, is going to be booming like never before. We're going to see a growth in our economy, a spurting. We're going to become North America El Dorado, but it's going to be spotty. It's not going to be everybody. The coast are going to suffer for a change. They have benefited in the past, not this time. Now, at the same time, I want you to understand it's only going to last 3 to 5 years. And they will say, see how good this has worked out? We have the North American Union. We have our AMERO. And see how rich so many people are? Isn't it wonderful? We have 50 million Mexicans living in America now. But isn't it great you can have a nanny, somebody to cut your yard, somebody to cook your meals? Now, it's true that millions of workers will be out of work. All the job outsourcing, the factories going overseas. But they're going to have an equal number working to build this new North American infrastructure. So it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, as they say. And all those Mexicans, and they'll end our Constitution, they won't even know about George Washington. How many of the 20 to 30 million illegal aliens know anything at all about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or our Constitution or our Bill of Rights? How many of them care? For them, it's the economy, stupid. Everything is going to change. Nobody will care about our rights. The police state will be implemented. We'll have our national ID cards, but it won't be American. It will be North American ID cards that everyone will have. You won't have your dollars, you'll have your AMERO. And you know, 3 to 5 years in the future, everybody will say, this is just okie dokie. Why, everything is wonderful. It's great having all these Mexicans here. It hasn't damaged our economy. I love the North American Union. I don't mind fighting wars in Iran, in Syria, and in Korea. This is great. We've got all this money. Oh, I'm living like a king. I've got my big LED TV. I've got my high definition televisions. I've got my computers at my house. I'm building a new house. I'm driving a Lexus. I've got it made, but watch out. They're going to pull the wool over your eyes and the carpet from under your feet, the rug from under your feet. 3 to 5 years after they've got their North American Union, after they've got their North American empire for Israel, after they've nuked places like Iran and Syria, after we've lost thousands and thousands of American soldiers fighting men and women in these fruitless, worthless foreign wars, after they've destroyed America and ended America as we know it, then they'll suddenly say, you know what? There's not as much oil on the Walker Ridge as Chevron Oil once thought. Our newest findings show there's not much oil there at all. Oh my goodness, the American economy is going to tumble and tumble and tumble. Or should I say, the North American El Dorado economy is going to tumble. They're going to give us war and prosperity for a few years, and then all hell is going to break loose on this planet as the elite bring in their new world order and the Antichrist arrives on the world stage. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.